Making talk radio great again. It's The War Room
with Owen Schroyer.
So the group points out maybe we should go deeper into the weaponization of government thing. And I think this would be a good starter to go down that story more. What does it mean? What do they do? Well, it's kind of like this. Representative Thomas Massie introduces federal constitutional carry bill. Now, okay, think about that. You have to have a federal constitutional carry bill. The Constitution is the law of the land. The Bill of Rights are unalienable, given to you, the American citizen, by God. And it's our government, it's our Congress's job to protect those rights. That's actually their job. Not to tax you, not to run your life, dictate your life, get involved in everything. Their job is actually to protect your rights. We're a far cry from that. But so Thomas Massie introduces federal constitutional carry bill. You have to propose a bill that says you get constitutional rights. You have to propose that bill. So what does this have to do with the weaponization of government committee? Well, the whole idea behind the weaponization of government committee is, let's take the examples. It came out that the feds were going after Catholics and pro-lifers completely illegally and illegitimately. It turned out that the feds were going after parents that would go to school teacher meetings, school board meetings, and maybe they had an issue with a teacher teaching their kids how to have gay sex. And so, or look at Tulsi Gabbard, the feds put her on a terror watch list. So the feds were out of control. They had become politicized and weaponized against American conservatives and Christians and Catholics and parents and former liberals that switched to conservative or Republican. And so the government was weaponized against them. So they formed the Weaponization Committee to do oversight and investigate these things. Now, the fruits of this labor, aside from whistleblowers' testimony, are almost nothing. Nobody's been fired. Nobody's been arrested. So, I mean, what are the fruits? Well, we have multiple whistleblowers. They've been on the show. And we have their congressional testimony that basically show the crimes that the federal government is committing against the American people. But it's the same thing. Congress's job is already oversight over all these bureaucracies. I can't harp on this enough. And it's like they don't even know this. Do the congressmen and women even know that that's their job? And they sit here and you put the heads of these bureaucracies on the stand and they act like they're above you. And they act like, oh, the FBI or the CIA or all these other federal bureaucracies, they're above us. Wrongo. Congress is above them. Congress's job is already oversight of these bureaucracies. Oh, but we have to pass a bill that says you have a constitution. We have to pass a bill that says we need to have oversight over the federal government. That's already the law of the land. That's already the flow of power in Washington, D.C. And we've gone so far from that now that you have to have special committees to remind you that you have to say, hey, Americans have a constitutional right. So that's where it's at. What do you think, guys? I mean, I would love to see Don Jr. get involved in politics. I'm a big fan of Don Jr. I also like Eric Trump a lot, too. What about a Trump 28? Guys, what are we thinking? Trump 28? But, I mean, really, I don't know if they have political aspirations. Honestly, what this country probably needs is like a Ramaswamy Massey ticket. A Ramaswamy Massey ticket. I don't even know. Trump's politics, maybe you like him, maybe you don't. We need Trump in there just to clear out the deep state, expose all these people, and fire everybody. And then we need true conservatism and small government minds like Vivek Ramaswamy and Thomas Massey. That's your ticket. So we need Trump to get in there on the redemption tour, finish his job, and then we need Vivek Ramaswamy and we need Thomas Massey 2028. That's what we need.
Turmeric has been used as a medicine for thousands of years to treat digestive disorders, respiratory problems, arthritis, and depression. It has strong anti-cancer, anti-diabetic, antimicrobial, and antioxidant properties, and is one of the most effective anti-inflammatory medications available. The Powerful Bodies formula at InfoWarsStore.com includes 95% curcuminoids, Boswellia serrata extract, organic sage leaf, organic lemon balm leaf, organic thyme leaf, and piperine from black pepper. Bodies is arguably the best turmeric formula available. Get it now. Support free speech and support the InfoWar at InfoWarsStore.com.
The beacon of truth in a world of deceit. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Of the InfoWars War Room, brought to you by InfoWarsStore.com. This is your reminder to get your vitamins and supplements from InfoWarsStore.com and take them as well. Don't forget to take them. We care about your health here. Make sure you're taking your vitamins and supplements from InfoWarsStore.com. We've got Vitamin Mineral Fusion in stock. Tastes great and is good for you. And one scoop of Vitamin Mineral Fusion, more than 100% your daily value of vitamin A, vitamin B6, vitamin B12, vitamin C, and so much more. That's just one scoop. It's 40% off right now. Take your health to the next level with Vitamin Mineral Fusion. 40% off at InfoWarsStore.com. And don't forget about the new apparel and the old apparel at TheAlexJonesStore.com. So a lot of these t-shirts that you see were some of the first t-shirts that ever came out that were sold at InfoWars decades ago. And they have remade them, and you can now get them yet again at thealexjonesstore.com. There's also some new designs there and some new hats as well. And with every purchase of the new apparel, the old apparel at thealexjonesstore.com, you are entered in a raffle to win, what do you even call this thing, a mega truck? A monster truck? I mean, it's basically a monster truck. So with every purchase, you're entered to win that monster truck. Very cool at thealexjonesstore.com. And you may want to get some emergency food supplies from InfoWarsStore.com as well, because this is going on. NATO prepares plan for huge number of casualties in case of World War III scenario with Russia, as German military says an invasion could happen this decade. And so this is all a lie. They lie to you about Russia. I mean, I would say the worst case, depending on how you look at it, but let's just say the worst case with the Russia-Ukraine situation is that Russia is going to just take Ukraine back. Maybe they claim it as Russia again. Maybe they leave it as Ukraine, but it's basically pro-Russian government, if not just run by Russia. So that's like the most aggressive stance from Russia would be they're just going to take Ukraine back. The least aggressive a stance from Russia would be all you have to do in Ukraine is have an election. They don't have elections anymore. Zelensky canceled them. He's a dictator now. So all you got to do is he's a warmonger dictator. So Russia would just say all you got to do is back NATO off our borders. Allow there to be elections in Ukraine and promise that Ukraine will never join NATO. So that's like that. That's your scale of the real situation in Russia. Either Russia is going to take all of Ukraine or Russia will say, hey, we don't want war. All you got to do is get NATO out of Ukraine, get NATO off of our border, have an election, and promise Ukraine will never be a part of NATO. And that's it. That's all they want. Maybe they give back the land that they've taken, but I doubt that. That's probably just Russia now. And that's what the people voted for. So we're pro-democracy. So Russia moves into Ukraine, takes a lot of the eastern portion, and then has elections, and those people vote that we want out of Ukraine, we want to be part of Russia. Then Zelensky says, we're canceling elections, no more elections, I'm the permanent dictator. But they really want this war, they really want to demonize Putin, they really want to demonize Russia, and so they say, Russia's going to invade Europe. And it's just total bullcrap. It's just total BS. And there's no logical consistency either. Because really, if you're going to sit here and talk about an expansionist empire or an expansionist plans at war, then you're going to talk about Israel. And if you're going to talk about that leading to World War III, then you're going to talk about Israel. Israel has already gotten away with so much. And they say, okay, we're at war, so you guys attacked us on October 7th. Yes, they stood down, but whatever. Let's just look at it from this standpoint. Okay, so that's their excuse. So they're launching war in Syria and Lebanon and the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. And they say, oh, well, we got attacked on October 7th, so we're at war now. So everything we do is excused because we're at war. Well, okay. So then what happens when Israel goes into Lebanon or the West Bank or the Gaza Strip and tries to take it, and then they get hit? Is that still just considered war, or does that break out into a World War III situation with Iran and the United States getting involved? So if there's any real threat of expansion or invasion leading to World War III, it's probably Israel and Iran. But they lie about Russia, and they demonize Russia, because they want you to be distracted with that. So it's like, hey, look over here. Russia's the boogeyman. And they'll get you distracted with that and maybe try to pop something off there. And then Israel will make its move and there'll be a tit-for-tat situation and escalation over there. But they'll just say, oh, no, it's all Russia's fault. But then it's the same groups. It's the same Israeli lobby. It's the same NATO that just shouldn't even exist anymore. So that's the real threat. And this, oh, that they're planning for the mass casualty event. That's just them saying, it's the same thing. They go and blow up the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. They did that. The deep state did that. They bragged about it. So that's the kind of crap they're going to do. They'll blow something up. God forbid a tactical nuke. They'll do some sort of isolated event. It'll be a proxy army. It'll be some proxy group. Some shadow operation, intelligence agency operation, and they'll have some a big explosion, a mass casualty event. They'll do a false flag. They'll escalate the situation, and then all these different pieces will fall into place, and then they'll just say, okay, we're at World War III. And maybe they want to do this before the election. Maybe they want to do this before the inauguration. Maybe they want to have a situation like they do in Ukraine where they just permanently cancel elections and just say, no more elections, we're at war. But see, they wouldn't be announcing this stuff, they wouldn't be doing this stuff if it wasn't in their playbook. They wouldn't be running through this process and saying, hey, this could be going on, if that wasn't a scenario. But it's always the same group. It's always the military-industrial complex. It's always the same intelligence agencies that run Ukraine as a vassal state. It's always the same people. The military-industrial complex client states in Israel. The military-industrial complex client states in Ukraine. And so they all get rich. They're all drenched in blood. And then they point the finger at the people they're going to blame the war on. And then it'll be the same story. Americans have to lose their treasure and lose their blood for these war whores. So you've got the national warning of, oh, there could be domestic violence ahead of the election. You've got the international warning, there could be escalation of World War III. Yeah, well, who's causing it? The same people that are warning you about it. So look, I don't want to go to war with Russia, but that's what they're setting up. And it's like, what do you think is going to happen? If I go up to Mike Tyson and I punch Mike Tyson in the face and then he punches me back, well, whose fault is that? But it's not even like that. It's like if I'm standing next to Mike Tyson and then somebody grabs my arm and punches him in the face and then says, look what he did, and then I get punched. Or it's not even me. It's like somebody else punches Mike Tyson and then says, he did it, and then he punches me. So that's what this is like, whether it's Iran, whether it's Russia. And they're, notice how they're building it up with Iran. Iran's hacking Trump. Iran's trying to assassinate Trump. And I'm not saying that they're not. I don't doubt that, but it's the perfect scenario, isn't it? And I'm just curious what, if any, involvement Barack Obama has in all of this. Do you really think Obama's sitting on the sidelines right now? Do you really think Barack Obama is sitting on the sidelines right now when I think Barack Obama basically bought Iran when he dropped off the pallets of cash and the Iran deal, and he bought their loyalty? I don't know where that goes when Obama leaves office, but do you really think Obama is just sitting this one out and sitting on the sidelines when he was the most favorable U.S. president to Iran? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think there's something else going on there. I mean, Obama gave Iran our drone technology. Obama gave Iran cash. So, I mean, that's serious stuff there. So, I don't know. Do you really think Obama's just sitting this stuff out right now? And do you really think Iran will continue to sit out the situation in the Middle East if Israel continues to bomb Lebanon and Syria and go into the West Bank and everything else? Normally, I would say yes. But who's really manipulating that policy? Who's really running Iran's policy to try to assassinate Donald Trump or hack Donald Trump's campaign? Do you really think Obama, who is the most loyal to Iran, is sitting this one out? It's kind of like his legacy, in a way. But, oh, you know, hey, we love NATO. We fund NATO. We promote NATO. We love NATO so much, even though the United States of America is an entire ocean away from Europe. An entire ocean separates us from the NATO countries. And somehow we pay for the whole thing, and we're the big brother barking junkyard dog with NATO. And then we're told, well, look, NATO is going to start a war with Russia. Well, then why the hell do I have to pay for it? Why the hell do I have to be involved in it? Same crap, same people, same deep state, same intelligence agencies, same proxy wars, same death cult. Same damn people. Oh, but they'll get what they want. They'll get 100 million, 200 million, a billion dead. They'll cancel all elections across the planet, install dictators, probably permanently. And then they'll say, oh, we'll have world peace, but we got to have the corporate global government, and you got to have the central bank digital currency, and you got to have your forced medication and vaccines and biochips. And then it's the alien invasion, and oh, we're united. Because they can't just let us live. They can't just let us live. They can't just let these humans live on planet Earth created by God. No, because the whole thing is a business to them. It's one gigantic business for them to run and control. So if they need to, you know, blow a couple cities up, kill a couple 100 million people to get this business back on track? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then you got your little bureaucrats. You got your little bureaucrats that think they're going to get all the power from this, like this guy. Now there's another one here. This orgy freak. Louder with Crowder has it again. New York City's COVID orgy kingpin. Jeez. C-O-K. Uh-huh. I think Kamala knows a little bit about that. COVID orgy kingpin reveals he was hired by pharmaceutical company Sigatech to help sell monkeypox drug T-Pox. Details media spin scheme to ensure investors don't dump companies' worthless stocks. They're all in on this game, folks. They're all a bunch of scum. It's a hive of villainry in Washington, D.C., and these Democrat bureaucrat clubs. So, I mean, why not go right to the undercover video itself? So this guy loves orgies. Maybe he's spreading monkeypox himself and then selling the monkeypox drug after the orgy. It's a very nice upward synchronicity business endeavor. Here it is, clip 9.
Working on a drug for a monkeypox. Remember, it was a big outbreak a couple years ago. But it's not going to spread among the general population. It's almost certainly going to stay primarily in my gay man.
Honestly, pause that again. See, you remember when this was going on? And it was obvious what was going on. It was obvious that this was monkeypox being spread by men engaging in sodomy. Like, that was it. That was like 98% of cases. And then there was like a dog that got it. And then I think there were some minors that got it. And it's like, okay. And then they just said, nope, that's a conspiracy theory. And that's hate speech. And they wanted you censored and banned if you reported that. So they all knew it. And now this guy just comes out. He thinks he's on a hot date. He's like, yeah, we lied about monkeypox. It's pretty much just gay men banging each other. But we lie about it and deceive the people. All right, go ahead.
Well, it's only primarily transmitted among gay men. It basically got into the sexual networks of gay men. And a lot of gay men have tons and tons of sexual partners and often don't use condoms. And so as a result, it spreads more.
What's the drug called?
It's called Tecovirimat, or T-Pox is the name of it. We also need to keep up the people's belief that the drug works, so that's why spinning it in the media is helpful. So we want the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, to approve our drug specifically for monkeypox, and right now it's only considered experimental. And they won't approve it based on this study. You can spin them so that people won't dump the stock, thinking that the company's worthless. World Health Organization did an announcement about a public health emergency. It's all over the news and stuff. They could give us something called an emergency authorization. This is what they did during COVID, like the vaccines and everything. Mm-hmm. They actually have to submit the data.
So pause right here again. Folks, this is so important. Now look, I'm not saying this guy's like the all-powerful decision maker here, but he's obviously in the know. He's obviously involved with this stuff and has some level of decision-making power himself. The whole thing was a scam. We called it day one. And that's the power they have, is to censor the opposition. The pharmaceutical industrial complex, they run the mainstream media. Go watch 20 minutes of cable news, and just 20 minutes, and see how many pharmaceutical ads you'll see. Just do it. Just do it one time. They run the damn news. They own the damn news. So they're not going to be having any opposition to their drugs. They own the medical institutions. You go to a doctor, what's the first thing they're going to do? Prescribe you a pill. Prescribe you a drug. We're not going to talk about the connection between pharmaceutical drugs and mass shootings. No. Because those pharmaceutical companies own us in the mainstream media. So we're not going to have that discussion. That would hurt business. Number one ad buyer, probably, I would say I'm pretty sure that's the number one ad buyer in television advertising is pharmaceutical companies. That used to be illegal, by the way. used to be illegal to run those ads on TV. And then what do you know? They lobbied Congress, bought Congress, and, oh, they're on TV now. But see, this is like, now we already knew this. This is incredible work by Crowder's team. This is incredible work by Crowder's team. They got the guy admitting it. They lied to you about COVID so they could sell you a vaccine. They lied to you about COVID so they could sell you a vaccine. And they're still selling the vaccines. Now you don't even have to go to a doctor to get them. They have take-home vaccines, by the way. Oh, that's nice. Parents now allowed to give kids flu vaccine at home despite vaccines linked to severe reactions. Oh! Like that poor girl, Lorenz, who had that horrible reaction still going through it. I mean, again, where is the American media? They lied to you about COVID to sell you a vaccine. I mean, at least Chris Cuomo has enough integrity to go on air and say, yeah, they lied to us about it, sell us a vaccine. Remember, he did that like 4 months ago. Hello? Kind of a giant scandal here. Hello? One of the biggest scandals in the history of this country. Hello? No, they own the mainstream media. All right, finish the clip.
We can to keep making noise.
I think we lost the clip.
But it's not going to spread among the general population.
Oh, so they're lying about monkeypox to sell monkeypox drugs. Oh, and he says, just like we did with COVID.
The risk is very low. It's only primarily transmitted among gay men. It basically got into the sexual networks of gay men. And a lot of gay men have tons and tons of sexual partners and often don't use condoms. And so as a result, it spreads more.
What's the drug called?
It's called Tecovirimat, or Tepox is the name of it. We also need to keep up the people's belief that the drug works, so that's why spinning it in the media is helping. So we want the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, to approve our drug specifically for monkeypox, and right now it's only considered experimental. And they won't approve it based on this study. You can spin them so that people won't like dump the stock, thinking that the company's worthless. World Health Organization did an announcement about a public health emergency. It's like all over the news and stuff. They could give us something called an emergency authorization. This is what they did during COVID, like the vaccines and everything. Mm-hmm. They actually had to submit the data.
Yeah.
But they took the preliminary data. They didn't wait till the data was followed out for 3 or 6 months because it was an emergency. Because basically what we're trying to get the media to say is, oh, the drug didn't work because it was designed the wrong way. So they're going to do another study and it'll probably work. And in the meantime, you know, people should prescribe it for that reason as an emergency drug. That's what we want the story to be.
So
the problem is we're stuck with, like, our drug, it definitely looks like it works, but the people that we need to buy
there you go. Now witness how pathetic the American media is to ignore this story. And look at how pathetic Congress is to ignore this story and not subpoena anybody, not have any testimonies, any hearings, nothing. Just watch. This is one of the biggest stories, one of the biggest scandals of our lives, and they'll do nothing.
At InfoWars MD, you can find the most popular in-demand supplements available and sourced at the highest quality. Nitric oxide, probiotics, joint relief max, nerve renew, prostate support, collagen, superfood greens, turmeric, ashwagandha, CBD, along with Mushroom Max Nootropic, Better Mood Plus, Libido RX, and Good Night Sleep. Improve the quality of your life and support the InfoWar. Go to InfoWars MD under Health and Wellness at InfoWarsStore.com.
If you had to be stuck in an elevator with either President Trump, Mike Pence, or Jeff Sessions, who would it be?
Does one of us have to come out alive?
Press always asked me, don't I wish I were debating him? No, I wish we were in high school, I could take him behind the gym. That's what I wish.
If we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him. I'd like to punch him in the face.
I'll meet him in a hotel room any motherfucking day of the week and give him a Louisville slugger. Kiss my motherfucking ass, you bitch punk sucker.
I just don't even know why there aren't uprisings all over the country. Maybe there will be.
You cannot be civil with a political party that wants to destroy what you stand for, what you care about.
You know, there needs to be unrest in the streets for as long as there's unrest in our lives.
When they go low, we kick.
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
It's an actor dressed to look just like President Donald Trump as he's assassinated on stage. Look as his character is stabbed to death.
Where is John Wilkes Booth when you need him?
Yes, I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House.
We are watching a rally right now. Former President Trump was just in the middle of a speech when what sounded like possible shots were fired. We saw the president, former president, take cover.
Breaking news, former President Donald Trump is safe, and a 20-year-old shooter is dead after a shocking assassination attempt on the former president in Pennsylvania.
We begin tonight with the breaking news and the second assassination attempt of former President Donald Trump.
You take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you.
He is destructive to our democracy, and he has to be eliminated.
Let me give you one bottom line. As a former government official, government's going to kill this guy.
He needs to be shot. Stop.
They're still going to have to go out and put a bullet in Donald Trump, and that's a fact.
This shirt as well, because the left's always acting like they're the Mavericks, they're the Trailblazers, they're the Outlaws. No, ladies and gentlemen, we are the rebels against the globalists. We are the resistance, and I'm voting for the Outlaw. Fight the tyrants at point-blank range and meet like-minded people and spread the word in the third dimension. Take action now and don't let the left silence you. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
It's time to take a stand. This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Share this message right now at band.video.
Some of the best undercover work, some of the most important whistleblowing work has come from my next two guests that are in studio with me, Carlos Arellano and Anthony Rubin, informantcarlos.com and Real Muckraker on X and YouTube to see their videos. And, I mean, you guys have done a lot of work, but I don't think there's anybody who's probably gotten right up close to the story, the question of where are the 325,000 missing children going? And between the both of you, you kind of have the both angles covered, where Carlos, you've actually seen what happens when they get into the country, go throughout the hotels and get processed. And then Anthony, with some of your more recent work and work in the past, you can actually see how they get brought up through multiple countries and end up at the southern border before they get processed. Now, your latest video, you have just posted it today. I'm glad you guys decided to come in studio with us after this very important video. First-hand testimonies, children who are trafficked in America. Before we kind of get into the details here, talk about the work it took to get this information, how hard it was, where you had to go, how willing or unwilling people were to share this with you.
Sure. So, yeah, I mean, it took a couple of months, and it was costly,
I mean, I guess relatively speaking, wouldn't it be costly if the government was to do this with their, you know, almost unlimited.
Well, they got plenty of money. Yeah,
exactly. But you know, for a couple of guys like us that are working on a shoestring budget, it was costly. And you know, basically, what happened was we were given information from a government insider, an HHS insider, that gave us a list with roughly 8,000 names of children, their last known addresses, and there was other information in there as well, the phone number and, you know, their sponsor status and all this other information, right?
Data they had in their system.
Exactly. And so there was like, I don't know, like 100 or 100 something columns of data in the CSV file, and there were 8,000 something rows, each row being a child, right? And so we went through this list and we started door knocking the last known addresses. And, you know, some of the children we found, some of the children were long gone. We would knock at the door, they'd say, oh, we gave the kid away.
And when you say last known addresses, did it vary? Like sometimes it was a week, sometimes it was a year?
This was the address that was on file as the address of the sponsor when they were released to this person, when they were released to the so-called sponsor.
So you don't know when it was released, though? They don't have that information?
They have the release date. These were all around 2021.
Oh, okay. So we're talking, it's been a while.
It's been a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. And so okay. So the person that gave us the list thought that it might be even you. They were like, I don't know if there's going to be anything that comes of this because it's a little bit old now. And so, you know, which is interesting.
2021. I mean, it's just, we all know what happened then. Biden got in office. Okay.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And so this was all from one shelter. These were children that were removed from the shelter in Pomona, California, and then distributed all across the United States, 8,000 of them. We started following this list, tracking them down, going house to house to house. You know, some of the worst areas in each place that we would go to, like, for example, in the Bronx, just in the projects, in these dilapidated buildings that are full of gangsters and gang members. And,
not a place you would say would necessarily be safe for a child.
No. Granted, there, you know, there's Americans in there, too. So I'm not trying to act like, oh, you know, poor migrant child.
But I'm not saying that. I'm saying, like, they're just dropping children off. I mean, they're just getting dropped there.
Correct. With, you know, sometimes a legitimate family member, we did find a lot of that it was, they were sent to a mother or father, and then sometimes not so much. Carlos, I mean, there's so much we could get into. Do you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, and a lot of the times the sponsors that we were getting, they would fight us on, we don't know where the kid's at, and then we would have to press them a bit on, we're not law enforcement, but we can make a report, and who knows who will come visit you next. So after twisting their arms a bit, then they would say, well, the kid now is in Tennessee, but they're supposed to be in Virginia. And we would get new addresses and we would jump to the next state to go find the kid. And that's what we were doing. I think we went to, what was it, like 16 states?
Yeah, we went to a lot of states, man. Yeah.
Well, I'm curious. I'd like to know what's this on the screen right here in a second. And I don't know if that's even your guys' clip, but it's like minors transporting minors. It's like you have young girls transporting even younger children. But on the sponsorship angle of this, because you were like a contractor on kind of the back end of that too, Carlos. What is supposed to be the story, or how is this supposed to go? When they get put with a sponsor, I mean, they're supposed to keep that child, right? They're not supposed to be transported them around the states.
Correct. They're supposed to stay there until they're 18, and they're basically signing a contract saying we're not going to let the kid go, we're not going to make the kid work. We're not going to make the kid pay any kind of bills. But when we showed up to these places, it was the total opposite of each thing.
Well, and this was one of your original whistleblower stories, was that there is no oversight. I mean, basically, they get dropped with these kids. They don't even do background checks of the people they drop them with. I think the craziest part of this was that they would drop them with these sponsors or drop them with middlemen, no background checks, and they'd just be holed up in a hotel with strangers. For who knows how long. It could be any type of person that's holed up in that hotel. Nobody, there's no oversight. But now, it's even if they do end up with a sponsor, who knows how long they stay there? They're gone.
Oh, correct. We had a lot of parents where I'd ask them, did you guys get a fingerprints done? Did you guys get some background done? They would say, no, all I did was sign a piece of paper at the airport or at the park, and they gave me the kid. And that was it. And there was nothing else done to check into them. And apparently there's also like house checks done to see where the address is at that was provided. And that's all BS, because Anthony has a clip, this clip right there. Supposedly someone checked up on this house.
I mean, that house looks like it's condemned.
Apparently two boys were delivered there, ages 7 and 10. And so we showed up and that was the situation. We called the number on file for that house, for that sponsor, and it was a disconnected number.
Now, folks that are listening to this, They have the footage. They're standing there. And you need to go to muckraker.com if you want to see all this. They are also on YouTube and X and everything else. But, I mean, that's their homepage. And so just to describe this, this is what I would assume is a condemned home. It's boarded up. It looks like nobody's been there for years. I mean, I'm sure you guys looked around. So what is the situation here?
Well, that is the situation. So on our list, there were two boys that were sent to this one address, and we went after them because we were going after the youngest on the list because those are the most vulnerable, right? So ages 7 and 10, we figured...
Hey, guys, put that house back on the screen while he's telling this story. Yeah, go ahead.
So we figured, you know, that's a good place to start. So we go to this house. This is actually one of the first places that we went to go knock on, and we shut up.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it. And that was it. That's the place that they were allegedly delivered to. That is the house that's on record. It's this dilapidated house that's foreclosed. It's falling apart. Maybe it's going to be knocked down. I have no idea.
Are there any signs of life that anybody, I mean, there's a dish on the roof. Like it looks like,
I don't know when the last time somebody was in there was. Like you could see that looks like there was a fire out there.
What's so crazy. It's so crazy that you say that because when I talk to people about when we would go down to the border and cover this stuff, because again, most Americans they aren't politically informed. They're just not. They don't know what's going on.
Right.
And I'll be talking to people that are just friends of mine, and they'll ask about the open border stuff, or they'll see something in the news, and they'll ask me. I'll be like, yeah, I went down there. And I'd tell them, I'd be like, look, you go down there, you go to site one, and you've got the story immediately.
Right.
Like, you go to site one. It doesn't matter where I'm going. If I'm going to cover the illegal immigration at the border, I go here. I go, site one, 100 illegal immigrants walking across. Site two, 30 pregnant women getting off a bus. I mean, it's like 100% success rate. And normally with a story, an investigative story like this, there's a lot of failure. There's a lot of going here, going there, still searching for the story. With this illegal immigration open border story, it's like 90%+ hit rate. Like wherever you go, so this was the first place you went to. I mean, this house, how can you, so they left the kids at this house.
I have no idea what happened to those kids. I mean, sometimes.
So you couldn't find those kids?
No. No idea what happened to those two boys.
What do you, I mean, Carlos, you've been on this story. Where do they go? Does somebody really get dropped off at a condemned home?
They probably, if I had to take a guess, they used that address to give to the caseworker, and that was it. No one ever went there.
So how does the kid end up there then?
No, they ended up, so what happens is at the airport is where they meet the sponsor, and they never really check the house.
So there is no oversight to even see where they're going?
No.
So it could be an empty lot?
Mm-hmm. And then regarding these kids, legally speaking, there's no way to go after them, no way to try to find them. It's a dead end. There's no way to find out ever again what happened to them.
Well, how much success did you have trying to follow up? I mean, when they were saying, hell, well, they may be here, they may be there, were you able to follow up with any of that?
Well, listen, we had success. I mean, we haven't even gotten into what we found. We found a girl, two girls that were being labor trafficked. There was a labor trafficking situation in Florida that we actually got firsthand testimony from these two kids, a boy and a girl, that were delivered to this labor trafficking ring. Apparently, this was a case that was referred to the FBI, HSI, and HHS, and they were unable to crack it at all. But somehow, Carlos and I were able to figure this out within a week. So we could get into that. But before we get into that, it's important to touch upon what we couldn't get into, which was there were a lot of kids that we showed up and we could actually find the kid, and there was something obviously wrong. For example, there was this one girl in Louisiana who was living in like the slums of Louisiana, okay? Like horrible neighborhood, like gangsters everywhere. You know, the type of place where they got the lowrider trucks but they're kind of falling apart and they're blasting gangster music everywhere, that sort of thing. And so like neighborhoods like this, houses up on stilts. And so we find this one girl, this young girl that's in her early teens. And at first, we're knocking on the door. They're like, oh, the sponsor doesn't live here anymore. He went back to Honduras, I think it was. And then they go, we don't know where the girl is either, but you can't talk to her. And then we're like, okay, well, we're going to keep looking for her and might be probably, you know, we have to kind of pull their arm a little bit. Then she's like, okay, I'll find her. And then they pull her out and she's hanging with these gangster looking guys. And we see her. Her eyes are all glazed over. And this is an early teen girl. Eyes are glazed over. And she dropped out of school. And her voice literally sounds like she's a 50-year-old man that's been doing hardcore drugs for years. I mean, this is a young girl, okay? But we're questioning her. We're like, listen, we know something's not right here. Will you talk to us? Like, we could even get you money. Like, is there anything? And she just wouldn't talk to us. She's like, no, I'm not. And she almost looked at us like with disdain. Like, she didn't want to.
Yeah.
She's like, what the hell are you here talking to me for? But the point is, there were other situations we ran into like that where we know something's wrong, but we don't have enforcement power, so there's nothing we could do. Right? So you just kind of got to that's it. I mean, she doesn't want to talk to us. So there was a lot of situations like that where there's something horribly wrong there, but it's beyond our power, right?
Well, and look, this has all the signs of a girl who's probably end up, I mean, I don't want to leap to too many conclusions, but probably using drugs, maybe getting passed around as a sex object, dating a bunch of men. And, you know, she's young. They get indoctrinated into this stuff. They don't know any better. It just becomes their lifestyle. And nobody, I mean, here's what's crazy about that. Nobody follows up on this stuff. Nobody follows up. And it's just like, they don't care. They're bringing these people in. They don't care what situation they end up in.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And listen, I'm not some leftist that's like, oh my God, the government has to solve everything. But like, you know, it's a giant hypocrisy, right? Like, they will come after somebody for a zoning violation, or Alex was just telling me before about, you know, how they're trying to see if he's got any money that's not declared, just trying to micromanage our lives. But then you have these kids that are coming over here that are being abused and nothing's done about it. That to me is the most messed up thing part about all this.
We asked every single kid we came across to interview, have they visited you before we showed up? And all of them said no. Maybe one said yes, but out of like 20 interviews, no, 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 no. And no phone call. There's supposed to be a wellness phone call done at 30 days. A lot of them said, the majority of them said no.
Well, and let's think about it too. This is a multi-billion dollar industry, right? I mean, there is no lacking in funding when it comes to this illegal immigration operation, this open border operation. So they could easily fund people to go out and do wellness checks. They could easily fund people to go out and check on these young kids that get brought in and put in with sponsors that they don't even have background checks in. And so it just doesn't exist. There's just nothing.
It exists, but yeah, apparently it's not being done. Apparently, they're supposed, like Carlos said, there's supposed to be a 30-day quote-unquote wellness check, and a lot of these kids are like, yeah, that was it. It was dropped off. Never heard from anybody again.
Carlos, do you think people are taking a paycheck to do this and just not doing the job?
Yeah, that's what it is. Is they
they
have to meet a quota of certain workers that need to be hired. If not, the contract gets handled to another company. So they hire and then they keep the money and they try to undercut as much as they can. And right now, they're supposed to be the way we were knocking doors. They're supposed to have workers out there doing the same because of how public it is, how many kids are lost now. But you would think we did it for 3 months that we would run into some of these door knockers. We didn't run into anybody doing door knocking.
And you could barely even find any of these minors that ever got any follow up.
Yeah, no. I think it was maybe one who said, yeah, they called us, but that was it.
Yeah, out of hundreds. I mean, we knocked on hundreds of doors, literally. There was a lot of door knocking. So, I mean, listen, we had success. It's not like we didn't find. We found a labor trafficking ring in Florida. Like a serious situation where what was happening was, so again, this was a case that was tipped off to the FBI, HSI, and HHS. Nothing was done about it. Situation was, you had a Guatemalan couple, illegal aliens, and they had this network of houses that they would sponsor kids from. So they would tell the government, okay, send me a kid, I'm going to sponsor him at this address, and then send me a few other, I'm going to have them at this address, and another address. So that, you know, it would be harder to trace it back so it doesn't look like there's all these kids being sent to one address, you see? But then, you know, there were people on the inside that pieced all together and like, no, this couple, they are just using a network of houses to spread apart the children that they are sponsoring. So then we found a girl that was part of this, and she told us what's happening is they're bringing in a bunch of kids as young as 5 years old is what she said. They have a debt over their head, a trafficking debt, and then as soon as they get to the United States, they go, okay, we found you a job. You're going to be working at this place, some landscaping company or whatever else. And that's it. And they start paying off their debt. And she was telling us that they just have these kids living with, you know, in a house that's full of men where there'll be like a living room and there's just like mattresses everywhere. And that's it. And you have according to this girl, they have children as young as 5 years old that they brought over here and put in this labor trafficking ring. That's what we were told. And while we were door knocking, there were some doors we knocked. And it would be like okay, so let me take a back step. So we had all this information that's presented to us, and a whistleblower is like, okay, this Guatemalan illegal alien couple has had children sent to this address, and so on. So we go and we knock some of the addresses. And living at the address, it was, for example, a family. And they were like, listen, we already had Homeland Security knock here. Why are you here again? And we were like, well, you know, It's probably the same reason Homeland Security was knocking. And the point
and
is
this is the same scene.
The same, yeah, this is that labor trafficking ring. So the point is they're just pulling out random addresses, giving it to the government, saying, yeah, I live here. And there's really no check, and it's just some random family's home.
And but I'm saying Homeland Security was there, and they continued to operate after they were there.
Homeland Security was there, and it sounds like they were not successful in finding any of these kids from what we know.
How many kids did you see on the scene of this situation, this trafficking ring?
Well, we found two of the kids. They told us that there's many more. We found two of the kids that had broken free from it. They were telling us that they still had a debt over their head, and they're getting constant calls that they're being threatened with deep, like this trafficker.
Have they been to
them.
Law enforcement?
No, they're scared. They don't, because they're here legally. And see, that's what happens. This is another thing we learned. These kids come over here, and a lot of times they just skip their court date. And so they know that they're, you know, one step away from getting deported. And so then you have this quote unquote sponsor who goes, okay, well, listen, if you're not going to pay off this trafficking debt, I'm going to have you deported. And so that's what they told us.
And we stopped by the local market there to get something to drink. And while we were standing out there, we saw about six or eight kids wearing lawn care service shirts on. And you could tell by their face, they had baby faces on. They looked like they were 13, 14.
They just finished working?
Yeah, they just finished working. And they were getting something to drink too, or cashing their check. And it was about six or eight different kids coming in and out. And you just see them running around in bicycles around town. And it just seems like the entire town is young kids working in lawn care.
And let me just say this. I got nothing. I'm not trying to be a leftist here. I'm not somebody that's like, if you're 13, you shouldn't be able to work. I had a job at 13, right? I was working as a busboy. That's fine. The issue is that they're coming over here and then they're threatened with this debt that's over their head. And they say, there was another girl we talked to again, this in our video. People can watch this, where she was threatened by her quote unquote sponsor. She was like, if you don't pay me this $4,000 you owe me, you're never going to see your mother again.
Well, that's the problem. It's the same thing. I mean, if you're in the neighborhood and you're, you know, a young go-getter, you want to mow lawns when you're 13, mow lawns, you know, $20 a lawn or whatever, that's great for you. But these are basically indentured servants, even slaves,
right,
to an extent, because they're not working on their own accord. They're not working because they want to have $20 in their pocket to, you know, go down to the corner store and buy a soda and candy or something. They're working so they can pay off these, I guess, are they cartels, or is this just like an independent operation?
It's to us, it seemed independent. I'm not going to make a stretch and say that it's cartel affiliated, but I mean, who knows what the associations are with these people? I mean, you know, so there were multiple girls we spoke to. One of the girls is in our video. She had her trafficking debt paid by this quote unquote sponsor. And so my whole thing is, okay, the sponsor paid for the trafficking of this child. Does that mean she's cartel connected? I mean, possibly, right? Because you must be somewhat cartel connected to be able to pay and have a child smuggled up here.
But it's like, what? I mean, you're a minor in this situation. It's like, you don't even really have an out. I mean, what are you going to do? You don't know anybody. You don't have any money.
Right.
This is like all you can do to survive.
Correct. Yeah.
We had one girl in, what was it, North Carolina?
Yeah, which one? Yeah, probably. If you know what you're talking about.
Yeah, we had one in North Carolina who ended up not paying like her rent, her debt. The sponsor kicked her out. And she ended up working at a restaurant. And at this restaurant, she was 14. She ended up meeting a guy in his 30s. The guy ends up getting her knocked up at 15.
Yeah.
And she ends up leaving with him to Virginia, has a baby with him now at 15. And the dude is almost 40. And she said,
was that her sponsor?
No, this is awesome. So there was a girl,
just another guy she was working with at the restaurant.
Yeah, because her sponsor threw her out. She was like, you're out of my house because you're not paying me. Yeah. And so then she ran off with this dude that was like more than double her age. Got knocked up by him when she was 15 years old. And it's just another situation. Yeah. Like, there's countless situations like this.
And during our conversation with her, she said, I wish the government would have checked up on me. Maybe I wouldn't have ended up getting knocked up at 15. Because she was sharing that she was upset that before us, no one visited her.
Well, the whole idea is like, oh, you know, we're bringing in these kids and they're getting taken care of, right? And it's, they run these ads or they run these puff pieces. It's like, oh, look, we've got these illegal migrants in our home. There was that famous one of that white liberal woman with the Harvard professor husband brings in these Haitians. Oh, they cook and they clean for me. Yeah. It's so great. And so it's like this whole presentation of like, oh, it's loving, we're caring for them. And the reality is, the majority of them end up in a slum type situation, indentured servitude situation. I wonder, did you guys ever dig into like what were their expectations or what was their motivation to come to the country? How, like, what is the genesis of these stories?
Let me just say this because I want to set the record straight here before I forget. First of all, I don't want to come at this if people think that somehow I'm like, oh, we need the government to come in and you know, we need all of this. Because at the end of the day, the government really sucks at anything they do. Anything they get involved in, they generally make worse, right? I mean, you could point
to... Well, they did this. This whole story is caused by the government.
Exactly. And so my whole thing with this is pointing it out and saying, we need to stop this. We need to just shut down the border. Because what a lot of people do is they'll see this and they'll use it as a reason for more government. Oh, this is why we need more government now, even though the government created the problem. No, a lot of these kids, they simply need to be deported, right? Along with everybody else, along with the military age men too, sent back to their home country. Because now they've come here and now we're in a situation where our home country, United States of America, is becoming a trafficking den across every single state and small towns. It's ridiculous. So that's my whole thing. I'm not sitting here saying that we need more government. But what I am trying to call out with this report is that these people have come here, like you just said, it's under the guise of, oh my God, it's this big humanitarian thing, and it's not. They're here and they're trafficked now. And your question was, what is the genesis? The genesis of this, when you speak to these kids, sometimes they say, it's just the classic story, they go, oh, we're coming over here because we had this dream of getting our papers and working and being free in America. But I think a lot of times it's more sinister than that. It's these kids were sent up here because they were maybe paying off the debt back home I'll give you one example. The children that we heard that we found in the labor trafficking ring in Florida, they told us that the genesis for them was they heard radio advertisements in the small village they lived in, Guatemala, radio advertisements saying, go to America and here's the package we're offering, the smuggling package. And they had their trip sponsored by this trafficker in the United States, and they were sent up here and ended up in a labor trafficking ring.
We're up against a break here. We're going to come back and continue this story. But so most of the situations, it sounds like, in Guatemala, very little infrastructure, right? I mean, civilization is obviously not like it is in the United States, even if you are in a small kind of rundown town. And so I guess it's that bait. I mean, that's what it is. And we figured that was going on. You've seen it before. You've actually brought the documents into studio. It's basically like, hey, free stuff, come to America. And then they come to America and they end up indentured servants. It's like right out of Pinocchio or something.
Today's conspiracy theories, tomorrow's truths.
Some of these conspiracy theories have turned out to be true.
Which ones?
The Trump-Russia witch hunt, Jeffrey Epstein, JFK assassination, the misuse of the Patriot Act, the Iraq war, the weapons of mass destruction, the war in Ukraine, the bombing of the Nord Stream pipeline, the open border migration caravans, the climate change scam, chemtrails, and HARP, and 9/11 being an inside job, and the Internet of Things surveillance grid, and PFAs, and chemicals in the water turning everyone gay, and the 2020 election being stolen, and January 6th being filled with undercover feds, and Bilderberg, and Bohemian Grove, and global government, not to mention gain-of-function research, and the threat of China, and collapsing birth rates, and defund the police, and George Soros, and mail-in ballots, and big tech censorship, and disinformation agencies, and Obama's birth certificate, and probably some others I can't think of. I mean, so a few of them. I guess a couple of them have been true.
You will meet so many amazing people wearing the shirt. I'd say you'll get probably 50 compliments before you get one person screaming at you.
Donald J. Trump is now President of the United States.
But it's an adventure to wear any of these shirts, but particularly this one. Get this design and so many others. They're limited edition at thealexshowstore.com. Keep us on air in our fight against the globalist. And I want to thank you so much for your support, because literally, when you call in thanking me on air, I say stop, because I'm thanking you. I love fighting the globalist. This is what I do. We've had such a huge effect together. So I want to thank you all for your past support. Encourage you now to go to thealexjonesstore.com and be sure to enter for the free truck and $10,000 and buy more product, support the broadcast, and get entered 5 or 10 times, depending on the day, each time you buy a product. This new initiative is so important to the future. So everybody, if you support what we're doing and want to get great shirts and ball caps at the same time, go to thealexjonesstore.com. And I almost forgot, most t-shirts come in multiple colors.
If you are
receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.